We Talk Podcast presents
What it is! What it...
Let nothing! Vincent K. McMahon on one fall.
What?
With that pencil neck geek who's never seen a gym in his life, pal Joel Johnson.
Who? What happened to Josh?
Don't worry about it.
This is Vince, so does that mean I'm in charge?
I'm always in charge. I'm Vincent Kennedy McMahon, dammit.
But can I ask questions?
Sure, pal.
Well, the One Fall podcast has Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Hurry up!
So,
or you're gonna be fired!
Okay, well, let's get to the first question. I think the first question is, was the Montreal Screwjob a work?
You're a work!
Okay,
Brett got what he deserved. Brett screwed Brett.
Why did The Undertaker lose at WrestleMania?
Next question.
What happened between you and Macho Man?
Next question.
How do you feel about Hulk Hogan saying, Terry Bollea saying that Hulk Hogan's the racist one?
Who?
Hulk Hogan, one of your greatest creations.
I'm not familiar with this character.
Denial. Good choice.
Denial! Ah, you. No denial. I created WrestleMania!
My next question,
we'll get to
Monday Night Raw. Was it true that the script wasn't finalized?
Script?
Yeah, you and Kevin Dunn work on a show together.
Kevin Dunn? Pal, listen here to me, pal. Everything you see happen has happened, and anything can happen in the WWE.
What about CM Punk? Can he ever come back to WWE?
Who?
The guy the crowd chants at you a lot?
I'm not familiar with his competitor.
Okay. What do you think of Neville's injury?
Well, little guys, you know, they're like deer. Bambi goes out in the wilderness and boom, shot.
How do you feel about AJ Styles?
Great kid. Worth the money. Getting chants. Love him. Flippity-floppity all over the place. Little small. But, you know, that phenomenal forearm. What a name. Vincent Kennedy McMahon does it again.
I guess the last real question I have for you is, Roman Reigns got booed out of the building on Monday Night Raw.
Did you see the girl in the front row?
Well, yeah, but...
That was the entire crowd like that. You gotta turn it up a little bit. That's all.
No, I'm pretty sure the crowd booed Roman Reigns.
No. You see, Joel, the most important thing you need to know about... Oh, God, Joel. Oh, my God.
Did you just hit Vince Kennedy McMahon?
Oh, my God, Joel.
Did you just hit Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
You're damn right I did. 316-day stunnered.
Well, I guess the podcast's back to normal.
What it is! What it do! Welcome to Fresh Take with your old Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, and the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Can I point out it's actually Stick Boy?
Stick Boy, Fresh Take, Vince McMahon hit me with a chair, man. Okay?
Oh, concussion. Yeah, fair enough.
You know, it's Stick Boy. Of course, it's Stick Boy. What's that, Vince? You know, the one thing I will say is that that stick boy, Joel Johnson, it's a great quality product. And one day I'm going to buy it from underneath you and take it all away. Are you good now, Vince? Are you good? Come here with you in the chair again. I came back because I needed to show respect for a second of a great interview. Good job, pal. I'll be back, Joel. All right, Vince, get out of here. We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about Roman Reigns. Yeah, he's great. He's great. Nope, he's not, Vince. But let us handle that right now, and you go figure out how to use the network better, like, you know, breaking news for your Hall of Fame class, for example. All right, Joel. That was a little weird.
That has me a little concerned. My first question is, how did Vince get in your house?
Well, the thing is, not in my house. I was walking, man, walking back to my house out of nowhere. Steel chair, back of the head. But you know me, I'm durable. Got back up, and I'm ready to go. It's been an interesting week this week. Vincent Kennedy McMahon on the podcast, though. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's a little deranged, it seems.
Really? I would have never guessed.
What did
you do? What did you interview him? What did he do?
I asked him about Macho Man.
Of course, yeah.
I asked him about Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Ending the streak.
And what were most of these answers?
I would assume he lives in a world of denial.
Right, well, and to make this more of a relevant point, we go to Monday Night on Raw, in our new segments, 3 seconds. 3 minutes, rather. So, Joel, you're the one that's sitting down right now as I pace around and do this. So we're breaking the fourth wall of what we each do for this podcast.
I got 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. 3 minute warning. So, countdown 3 minutes.
3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're
cool,
out of
cool, cool. We we got 3 minutes to rant on Roman Reigns and what happened this week. Ready, Joel?
I'm ready. Ready?
And you go.
Well, I guess we can all agree that they were late to the party with Roman Reigns. You look back at his reaction at TLC when he's kicking the crap out of Triple H. You got a pop. And both of us were like, maybe this is good. This is good. And then they took all the good things that they made about Roman, took it all away. He is a 2-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And this beatdown is too little too late. I'm sorry. He got booed, and he didn't even get a reaction when his music hit. So
no, and I mean, the thing is, too, this was the ultimate hope babyface spot of all time. And I don't really know anymore what or how they can justify any longer about why you push this guy, because he's obviously not over.
He's not over. Like, I heard, I haven't seen SmackDown, but I'd heard that he got a decent reaction on SmackDown. But when you're in some of the bigger cities, like a Chicago or a
Florida, or next week in, Philadelphia.
I don't think he's going to survive that.
No. No. And, I mean, this is the reason we have this three-minute segment, right? It's over and over and over and over again. How much time do we have left?
Yeah. We have a minute 30.
So it's just over and over and over again. And to me, look, I don't mean to be crass, but the only people that really seem to cheer him are the girls that want to fuck him.
Yeah, more or less. I think that he has that look that people will like. So that's all well and good. But the rest of the, like, today was 316 day.
It was celebrating Stone right. Cold. Yeah.
And you go through all the Stone Cold moments. What's next for Roman? Are you going to have him drive out on a beer truck?
Well, and that's what it was for a bit. It was Stone Cold Roman Reigns for a bit there. And it was kind of working, but
when you have this ultimate hope spot and he comes out and he doesn't get a reaction, I mean, it's funny because I think Dolph Ziggler is getting better reactions than he is right now. And I mean, the key guy is Dean Ambrose. That's the guy to push.
We're at 30 seconds.
Go, Joel.
I think I totally agree with you. You could, like, if that was Austin's spot, that would have been Austin. 2 weeks without Stone Cold on your TV and the crowd would have just been itching for a stunner.
Well,
no one was itching for a Superman punch.
No, I mean, it was 316 Day today, and I posted that clip of the Alliance and just the build-up, and the build-up when Austin finally came out, he finally became the babyface, and he had that hope spot to come and kick ass. Crowd goes crazy. Roman Reigns, crickets.
Yeah, and that's the end of our Roman rant.
So, I mean, the main thing with the Roman rant is that this isn't as much the rant, it's what do you do now at WrestleMania? I think both you and I, without getting too much into the Roman side of things, I think you keep the belt on Hunter because I think there's more stuff you can do with Hunter.
Well, here, we look at Roadblock, because this podcast is going to be, because Vince has screwed up our podcast today.
So God damn it, Vince.
It's going to be a little messy, but I think that you look at what Hunter did at Roadblock against Dean, that was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what Hunter did against Ziggler, which was another good match. His kickouts have been phenomenal. I think there's a certain point where you have to be like, well, I guess we got to keep... Because the money match right now is Seth Rollins versus Triple H.
Well, it's not just that match either with Hunter. I was thinking about this today. So, we both think Shane's going to win. And we think Shane's going to have a certain club with him.
Bang, bang.
But even if he doesn't, so he could have a feud with Shane. He can have a feud with the Bullet Club. He can have a continuing feud with Dolph Ziggler. He can have a continuing feud with Dean Ambrose. He can have a continuing feud with Seth when he comes. He can have a feud with Cena when he comes. He can have a feud with Cesaro. He can have a feud one more time with Randy Orton. I think there's a lot more with Hunter that you could do. And all those matches, are you not somewhat interested in at least Hunter and Randy one more time?
I'm not interested in the Randy Hunter again. I think 25 kind of.
But are you more interested in Randy Hunter one more time than Roman and Randy? That's my point.
I'd almost be a little more interested because the Roman and Randy, they could be decent.
They've done it though. They did that SummerSlam a few years ago.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it wasn't very good.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is you keep the title on Hunter because there's more story to be told. And
like,
I think,
what's the one, what do you have with Roman?
Here's what they do, Josh. Here's what they do. Problem solved. We think that Shane's going to win and we're going to get a brand split.
Please, Lord.
So if we get that brand split between Raw and SmackDown, then that means the WWE World Heavyweight title has to be split again, does it not?
You would think, or maybe they'll do what they did originally. Are you thinking two in the British brands, but separate pay-per-views, or all the pay-per-views still together?
Separate pay-per-views. I mean,
okay, if you do that, then yeah.
Here's the thing you gotta... It was proven again this week. We lost Neville, and it was a pretty nasty baseball slide that just didn't look good. And we can say that it's a smaller guy. But you also gotta sit there and think that these guys are on the road a lot, they're working a lot of house shows, they're working a lot of matches. Wouldn't it benefit from only being working Tuesday nights and then only working that house show, that SmackDown exclusive house show?
My question is, and a lot of the guys' questions will be, is where does the money come? Because they get nothing of the money for the network.
See,
and they get a lot of the money from the house shows.
And that's where you have the brand split. You still have those house shows, and guys are going to be featured more predominantly. You're not going to have guys buried on the card, on the house show cards. You're still going to have your Romans, your KOs, your Sammys, your guys that will be featured more or less on there. But now it opens up the door for other guys to make some money.
Right.
And I think that you reduce the number of house shows, and you think, okay, you're going to get paid good on Tuesdays. You're going to get paid good at least two times a week for the house shows. and you have the brand split, so it helps kind of bring out some guys that you don't really see. And, you know, house show sales haven't been that great lately anyways. So, but I think you do that. And from what I've heard, that most guys are getting paid decent anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it helps, like, it benefits a team like the New Day to just be Raw exclusive and then have the Ascension be SmackDown exclusive. And then you can start building certain guys up again and propel them forward. But
and this is what we've been pitching forever, though, right? We've been saying that this just makes the most sense, especially I have so many people say the roster is thin, the roster is thin. But it's, I think it's only thin if you let it be thin, you know? Like, these guys are all talented. You just saw Drew McIntyre go to TNA and win the world title and look strong as hell. And that was a guy that was on the roster, was thin. It's like a Jack Swagger. You're letting him be thin. Jack Swagger can be a top guy if you let him be a top guy.
Yeah, and I think, and a question I have for you is, so say we still had the SmackDown and Raw split.
Mm-hmm.
Say it was still going. Where would Damian Sandow's career be?
I'll be, it'd be much, much different. I mean, how is he not a social outcast?
Exactly. Where would Wade Barrett be?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be quitting.
Yeah.
Maybe that changes, too. Maybe if, you know, we know that Wade gave his notice. We don't know for sure. He's featured very prominently on TV right now. It's a decently prominent match on WrestleMania, which he's probably going to get injured for because that's just what Wade Barrett does. But to your point, if I think if it was separated, he'd be in the title contention area.
Yep. And you got to think, now the other question is, if there was a solid Raw SmackDown split, would Daniel Bryan have suffered as many concussions as he did?
That's hard to say because he had everything from ROH.
Yeah. And I think ROH played a huge role in that. But you got to think, with the health of these guys, would there be as many injuries if these guys weren't working as much?
No, that's for sure. But, I mean, you kind of see it in the NBA right now and in NHL, right? Like, LeBron James tonight sat out because they want to restore him and get him ready for the playoffs. You have these 82 season games in both the NHL and NBA. And then you have to go for, it could be 16, but it could be as high as, what could it be as high if they all did game sevens? 14,
35.
Yeah, it's around there. So you're doing that, and then some of these guys are going to do Olympics, and in hockey they're going to do the World Cup. So you have to, you know, store these players and reduce ice time, reduce court time. But those GMs can kind of do the same. You can't really do that as much with some of these guys. I do feel, in a way, they're kind of doing that with Roman.
Yeah.
Or I think that's one of the reasons they kept him off. Not just because of the reactions, but they're just like, we just need, like, it's the bubble wrap thing you talked about, right?
Yeah.
I think some of the guys would be like, I think in the next week now, they're going to be like, okay, we need to just be very careful with everybody. Like, nothing crazy. I don't think we'll see any more big matches. Like, no more one-on-one big matches for the next 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, okay, let's just do a lot of tags and a lot of stupid, easy gimmick stuff to get out and get everyone healthy.
Yeah, and they have to, but it's a shame. And I think that the one thing is, my question to you is, would a guy like John Cena have survived Monday Night Raw with Triple H? Because in that era, when Cena was coming up, that was the bad Hunter era, I like to call it.
Yeah, well, you and I have different opinions on that, but we're not going to get into that right now. Yeah.
It's like, I will give Hunter his due right now. He's done a phenomenal job, but that 2003 to 2005 run wasn't great. Would you give, my biggest point is, would you give guys an opportunity to really shine up? Because some guys just need that opportunity.
My thing with Cena on that is, I always believe the cream rises to the top no matter what it is.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, on SmackDown, even if it wasn't for that Halloween party,
he would have been fired.
He would have been fired. And it was pretty much said, like, he was on his last legs. He had a really dull gimmick, and he would have been fired. And how different is the WWE now if there's no John Cena?
Oh, vastly. So you think if you split it up, the brand, like, I look at, like, when Raw was in its heyday of the 98-99, they only had one product to go each week.
Well, technically, they had two, in a way. They had to compete with another one, right? Yeah. I think that's the thing that drove them to make such a good product. And technically they had two because they had Heat.
Yeah. But the Heat was a lot of scrubs.
No, not really. Not in Attitude Era. Attitude Era, Heat was had a lot of big stuff on it. You got a lot of big angles before pay-per-views. Like once it got into the 2000s for sure, but early Attitude Era, before WrestleManias or major pay-per-views, Heat was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I think with this is you split it up. You more or less, because it's been well reported that Hunter and Vince are not getting along right now. That's partly because of Shane.
Yeah.
And I think if you split it up, we have Vince and Shane in charge of Raw, and then you have Hunter and Stephanie in charge of SmackDown. And just let things go. And that's why you have to split the titles up, because then you can have Hunter exclusively on the SmackDown brand, and then you can give Roman the title on Raw and just kind of leave it be. Well, which show are you going to watch more?
The one SmackDown?
Which one are we really going to want to watch more of?
SmackDown?
Yeah. Easy. And that's one thing, and I think that's going to be another reason they do this split, is because they're both on USA.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have nothing to lose with it. I just think you have nothing to lose. You have to diversify your talent, and now you have this network. There's so much more to do. Fresher matchups, you know? But yeah, I don't know how much more we can talk about. I think we should move on.
Yeah, I think we've hit the pinnacle. I do want to hit on the start of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, well, like, you were, I think, I when I was down on the ground, I overheard you talking to Vince a little bit, and they did that match just because they didn't know where the hell they were going.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing, where you don't have an idea where your flagship show is going and you're on air.
But, I mean, let's not worry about that. The positive is, I thought it was a great beatdown angle with the League of Nations.
Yeah. I think it went on a little too long.
Yeah, for sure.
But it definitely...
Del Rio's move made sense for once.
Yeah. And that was nice. But I looked at it and I was like, okay, we know who the baby faces are. We know who the heels are now for sure. It's done and finished. I thought when Xavier was in the match, I thought, oh God, New Day's is going to lose. New Day's going to lose. But Xavier got a pinfall victory.
Yeah, Kofi has something with his back right now. Much like Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Well, whose back is a little bit messed up as well right now, which is why it was mainly Harper at Roadblock. But I thought Brock and him, from what I saw of it, it was rather good. And Meltzer has reported there's still big things coming for the Wyatt family, but it's hard to believe, Joel, because they don't win their feuds.
Well, what's more likely, CM Punk to re-debut, or the Wyatts to win a feud?
Well, I mean, if you believe the reports, there was a lot of reports came out this week that Punk will be on UFC 200, so I guess I would edge with Punk right now.
Yeah. And that's scary. I think that with the Wyatts and with the New Day, I think the New Day are an example of a team that got over. They got wins, and it just helped them, but it also, their gimmick connected. And I don't know how much the Wyatts are connecting right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like people were hoping that this was the Undertaker Ministry of Darkness. I was hoping that we got kind of like a Charles Manson cult-like.
I think the idea is still a great idea. And I think it's one of those things that a lot of people that grow up with it will look back with rose-colored glasses. I think you look back at the Ministry of Darkness. You know who was in that group?
Yeah.
Viscera. Midian. Like, just...
That cow eye freaked me out.
Bradshaw and Farouk as the Acolytes. And then the Brood for a little bit. But, like, there was no one that was super seriously terrifying in there. Like, Midian was a Godwin. Was Phineas Godwin that got converted. I mean, when they kind of converted over the guys, it was kind of creepy and spooky and all that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. In the long term... I think if you look at it now, I think the Wyatts look a lot better.
Yeah, and I think that I think Bray is very talented. I think Bray and Luke are the two talented ones.
I think Luke is the more talented in the ring.
Yeah, I like would like to see Bray a little more focused on his promos. His promos
for sure, for sure. I understand that.
But I think that if you're, because Meltzer reported that there's talks of a title run in the future for Bray Wyatt, I think a guy that hasn't won any, I think that would help him, but they've got to book it and build it smart. If they book it and build it smart, then the sky's the limit with Bray Wyatt. I mean, you look at his merchandise, you look at, he's got the entrance.
Yep.
Like when they had a house show here in Calgary.
It was super cool.
Yeah. And everyone had the phone lights on.
Yeah.
And it was swaying and it was this really kind of creepy and eerie.
Well, would you, I mean, this is one of those times, even though you and I do like John Cena, that was one of those times where it's been a few WrestleManias in a row now and a few situations in a row where, you know, we get mad at Roman so much, and we like Cena, I think, because of what he did with the U.S. Challenge. But the U.S. Challenge, in a way, with Cena was almost his redemption.
Yeah.
Because he kind of started this downward trend for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that feud with Cena and Bray. Bray never recovered from it. And I think that was the one time where I think this is on Vince's head as much as it is Cena's, but I think that there should have been a push for Bray to go over, because Bray getting that WrestleMania win, and then he's 1-0 heading into WrestleMania against The Undertaker. Can he afford to take a loss to The Undertaker? I think anyone could take a loss.
For sure, for sure. That's fine. I would have liked it to be, you know where I stood. I would have, was really last year, for the people that are just joining us now, I like the idea of Taker kind of starting a new losing streak. And he could have gone in 2-0, and I thought that would have been really cool.
Yeah,
to have done that, but we didn't do it. That obviously.
No, I think that Bray needs to win a few more programs, matches. Obviously, his back is affecting him. I think the one thing that does hurt the Wyatt family is Braun Strowman, and it's not because Braun Strowman's green and Braun Strowman's not making an effort. I just think there's so much focus on this big guy.
Mm-hmm.
That you kind of start to lose focus on who the Wyatt family really is.
Yeah, in a way, I've kind of forgot about him. I didn't really think they were lost in a way either. Like, you know, when they separated them, because I think it was a TLC 2 years ago now. I thought Luke Harper, when he had the IC title, and he had that ladder match against Dolph.
Yeah,
that was just a brutal old school kind of match, and I really liked it. You and I also saw Luke Harper at a house show here in Calgary in Cesaro. Now, obviously, everyone's great against Cesaro, you'll say, but I thought Luke was really good in that, and he got to do a few taunts and stuff that he doesn't get to do. He was, like, flexing and doing all this great stuff, and, like, man, this guy, I just want to let him loose. You saw against Brock. Like, he had a great match with Brock.
Yeah. And that's the one thing where I think that the focus needs, like, Braun Strowman's a great heater, a great bodyguard-type figure, but I think Luke and Bray need to be the focuses.
I think this too, sorry to interrupt. I think it's that Vince mentality that we talked about, right?
Well, I didn't get to ask that question, but I kind of regret
it. Like, it's the idea of he looks right over Luke Harper and looks right to Strowman because he's the big guy. He has all these old school feelings, like he's in the 80s, right? In the 70s, and which worked back then, right? Like, a guy like Dynamite Kid, people would laugh you at the building. Yeah. You said Dynamite Kid should be the top of your card. Even Shawn Michaels or Brett, he thought he was taking a risk.
Yeah.
But now it's just the norm. But like a Braun Strowman, he's just from the Ron era. I mean, Luke Harper, if he was in the 80s, he would have been the tall guy and he could work. He'd be, I think, could you look back at Luke Harper now if he was in that era as one of the greatest performers of all time for what he can do? From what they wanted back then, he's tall, but he could wrestle.
Yeah, and it would work, and people would have bought into it, and he would have had that creepy look, and he would have had that Bruiser Brody. I think Bruiser Brody would have made a lot of money with Vince McMahon.
I agree.
Along, but I think the money would have been there.
I can't disagree with you on that.
Let's transition from the Wyatts. I think that there is there will be continued conversation on the Wyatt family.
Yeah, they're an interesting bunch.
Yeah. Another performer that impressed me and I think had kind of fallen from grace a little bit from the IWC and just not been there is Ziggler.
Yeah, yeah. Ziggler has had a nice little run as well. Great match with Hunter. I thought, and one thing I will say about Ziggler is when Ziggler is concentrated, Joel, when he's really focused in on something, he is so great. And you could tell the last little bit, he did not care. And I think we're finally away now from the Lana Rusev Summer Rusev weird triangle with Dolph. It's all kind of, everyone's gone, and any punishment or any stink from it is all gone from everybody. Now, Dolph kind of suffered from it the longest. I think even Rusev got away from it faster than Dolph did.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I just look at it as Ziggler is a good worker. I mean, he can go in the ring, he can work with anyone. I mean, this is nice to see him start to really start to crank the wheels again for him. And, you know, he looked really good against Hunter. And that's the one thing that I think for you and me, especially someone that, like myself, that has been very critical of Hunter. This is a very mature, smart Hunter. This isn't the Hunter that just cared about being on the top of the
He's kind of Kobe right now, isn't he? Because Kobe's on this retirement tour, and the idea of Kobe was he's an asshole, no one likes him, he's a bad teammate. And now everyone's like, "Oh, Kobe's great. I grew up on Kobe. He's my guy." Hunter's kind of Kobe.
Yeah, I think in a way he is. I think the he made Ziggler, like, the match looked good, and Ziggler didn't look like a total punk.
Nope.
And that was the biggest thing. Dean didn't look like a total punk. Dean actually got a pinfall on him.
Do you think that in some way that Dean, that Dolph may be involved in the main event somehow?
I don't think so. I really think Vince sticks to his guns, but I think that Vince is scared enough right now and nervous. Like, there have been reports that he threw an absolute fit at the end of Monday Night Raw, and everyone saw it. This is a guy that's...
Well, look at him when he came in the ring, and he was just like, "Get louder." And it was very noticeable. Like, I thought, I kind of took it back from that, didn't you?
I'm not surprised. I kind of expected it just because, but I'd heard that the crowd reaction on TV had been muted a bit because there was a very loud chant for a guy that may be debuting at UFC 200.
Right.
So those chants are starting to gain steam again, which is...
It's weird.
Are you shocked at all, or is it just because of his... Do you think
it's funny because, you know, I talk about the... I don't want to trash other people's podcasts, but, you know, the guys from ESPN on the GP podcast, they've had this running debate. Who would get the louder pop when they return? Punk, Shane, or Kurt? And for a bit there, I thought Shane would be pretty high. After hearing that crowd on Monday, I think Kurt's would be louder than Shane's.
Yeah.
I'd be close, though. It'd be very close. But Punk's will be Austin level.
Oh, yeah.
It's just going to be Austin level. And if it ever happens.
Yeah, it would have to be at Chicago, because Chicago will not let go.
Well, if it's in Chicago, it'll be another level. But I think it'll be at any point. But I am a little – I think in a way, I see a punk chant is just kind of like a what chant in a way. You just kind of do it if things are boring.
Yeah.
I think it's just in your mind mentality kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Do you think it's starting to get to Vince at all a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean – I think he's just frustrated because this has been three WrestleManias in a row now that he's had the guy he wanted to give it to. They had the plan with Dave and Randy. Didn't work because of Daniel Bryan and Punk quitting. And then last year, they're like, "Okay, we're going to give it to Roman." It didn't work because of throwing Daniel Bryan out of the Royal Rumble. And then people just didn't want Roman, period, and you had him go against Brock. And then this year, it just... Again, it didn't work, period, because people don't want Roman Reigns. And we're not going on that tangent, but it's just simple as that. The people have really spoken to what they wanted. Every year, they've shown what they wanted. The first year, they wanted Bryan or Punk at the time, right?
Yeah.
Last year, they wanted Bryan. They wanted Seth. Well, I didn't even know the people wanted Seth. They wanted Bryan.
Yeah.
They wanted Brian. They didn't get Brian. They got Seth. They were happy. This year, they want Dean, and they're not going to get Dean.
No. I think Dean's going to have one of the matches of the night. And speaking of Dean Ambrose, that segment.
I would have Dean win, by the way.
Would you?
I've decided I think that's best for him. I think it is best for business. I think you just lay a beating down on Brock with that baseball bat. Every single thing, every pain, every shard. And it's just a desperation kind of thing. And it's just an absolute destruction of the beast. And you kind of put Brock into hibernation until SummerSlam. And he comes out. And I want to have Dean on the card for SummerSlam. I have Brock come out on Raw and just rip Dean in half. Literally, guts everywhere. Yeah. But seriously, just destroy Dean Ambrose. And he's off TV for a long, long time. Like 2 months or so. Just to really show the dominance. But you get him that win over Brock and you can start a title program with him and Roman.
Yeah, easy. Beating Brock Lesnar gives you instant.
Because then you can say, I did the one thing you couldn't.
Yeah.
You can say you did. You were saying you were close, but I actually did it. I beat him at WrestleMania.
Vince is a desperate man, so. And I don't think Brock cares too much. He's going to get paid regardless.
Because coming out of this, Brock isn't at the show after, right?
Yeah.
He's on Extreme Rules, I believe. So where do you go with the title from there? If it's Hunter and the Bullet Club does come and you start the Shane stuff, that's an easiest segue, right?
Oh, yeah.
But if not, I don't think you do Roman and the Bullet Club. It makes no sense. Unless he's kind of going to start siding with Hunter on things and it's weird like that. I don't know. I don't know how you get to that. But I would think Dean makes sense.
I would agree. I think Dean getting a win, and then that really propels Dean forward. Roman, after WrestleMania, so say Hunter wins, I'd write Roman off TV at least till past Extreme Rules. And the reason I'd do that is the character needs a pause. Roman needs a pause. Creative needs a pause. They really need to look at it and go, I think there's talent in Roman. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a better heel.
You know what you should do almost? He loses the title to Hunter. He doesn't come out and smirk. He kicks everybody's ass. Everybody. He just fucking loses his mind. He goes absolutely crazy. And then Dean Ambrose comes like, you have to calm down. Kind of like what the Usos did this week.
Yeah.
And he takes and just destroys Dean Ambrose.
Heel turn. And then you have Roman get suspended indefinitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's a caged animal.
Because he destroys he destroys Charles Robinson, let's say. Destroys Charles Robinson. Kind of like what the Brock Lesnar gimmick was right after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah.
But it works this way. Totally. Like, destroys a cameraman. Destroys a referee. Todd Phillips is there or something, right? He destroys Todd Phillips. Maybe he pushes Renee down to the ground. You know what he does? He pushes Renee to the ground and then Dean comes in and loses his mind on that.
Yeah.
Because they're breaking it next week on Total. I don't know if it matters to some people, but they're breaking the whole thing. Like, Dean Ambrose and Renee is coming out on Total Divas next week.
Really?
Yes. So, it's going to be public knowledge next week.
Well, what I would do is I would have him do that Renee bump. Because it would be so shocking and jarring.
Right. Yeah.
I would also have Roman. I'd have a Roman, like, Superman punch at Jerry Lawler. You know Jerry's going to be popular with that crowd the night after.
Yeah.
And having him have Jerry Lawler there for some sort of special thing, and then you have the King get decked. And the only person left standing is Michael Cole and JBL.
Yeah.
Really, really drive home that heat. But I think it's something that could work.
I agree.
I think that Dean needs... I'm enjoying Dean. Like, even his promo.
It's great. Getting Barbie?
Yeah.
That was a really nice addition. And I thought Foley's addition on Raw was perfect.
Simple and sweet.
It was small. He got Barbie. I think Barbie's a better weapon to use than this random crowbar because there's meaning to the Barbie, the baseball bat, right? Yeah. We all know what that means. And it's a thing much like the sledgehammer when it comes out. You're like, oh, man. It's just you know what certain weapons are for certain people, right?
Yeah.
So Hunter brings out that sledgehammer, and you're like, yep, that's Hunter's weapon. And when Mick Foley brings out that bat, and I think you can slowly bring it to, that's Dean's. He got that from Mick Foley. Mick Foley gave that to him.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, because they wanted to do a Dean Ambrose-Mick Foley feud, and they couldn't clear Mick. This is the next best thing.
Yeah, for sure. George. And, I mean, you and I kind of do a side kind of power rankings kind of thing. Right now in power rankings, to me, as far as everything going together, Dean's still number one.
Yeah.
And then Brock Lesnar's number two, I still think. And then just as far as audience pops goes, every week it's AJ Styles.
Yeah. And I think that's the next little transition. We'll start from the beginning. I feel really bad for Neville. Like, the guy, I thought he was really starting to hit his peak. I thought he's had good matches. I thought he's been able to go out there and do his job. He's never going to be a main event.
Is he out of WrestleMania then?
He's out 2 to 3 months.
Oh, that's tough, Rake. Sucks is your first WrestleMania in an intercontinental match, and you're against some of your indie friends. You're against Kevin Steen, El Generico, and AJ Styles.
It would have been fun.
And then you have Jericho and The Miz, two guys that have headlined WrestleMania.
I think that it's going to be just Jericho and Styles.
Do you? You don't think they're going to sneak into there?
No.
I just wonder now, with Neville being out, if they will.
Yeah, it's probably now to change things, but...
I think I would prefer it to go into there, maybe? Or do you want the one-on-one?
I want the one-on-one.
But if they go in there, you're not going to be upset.
Either or, I'm going to be happy that AJ...
Because is it not supposed to be a ladder match?
It is a ladder match.
Okay, so who else goes in it now? So you have Miz, Dolph, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Sammy, Steen. Does Nakamura go into this now?
No. That's a possibility.
Which they announced tonight in NXT.
Yeah. They had static used for him.
Did they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They had William Regal say the best in the world, and then...
That's trolling at its finest level, folks. There was a little bit of
static, and the crowd didn't know what to do, and then they saw Shinsuke, and then the crowd popped pretty big.
That's a little troll on their point.
Well, look who runs NXT.
But who else could be in that match to you?
Well, Social Outcasts want to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale as a team.
Great.
So they're not included.
Do you think the Whites are in the Battle Royal?
Yeah, I think that.
Sad.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking maybe it's AJ and Jericho and there's a six.
Yeah. Yeah, it works, and I think they could have a good ladder match. So,
because I really can't think of anybody else. Like, you're not going to put Sin Cara into there?
No, Sin Cara. Well, because Kalisto and Ryback are feuding.
Yeah, see, then that match is set. That match is set.
That's where I would have had the ladder match and the single IC title match with Sammy and KO, and then the singles with AJ and. And to me works.
Do you think you could throw maybe Mark in there as a base?
Yeah.
So then there's five. Then who's the six? Swagger?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I guess, but I just don't get excited as much as I have Swagger and Mark in there.
No, it definitely... I think Neville's injury changes things.
Who do you think would have been the other guy then? Because there still would have been one more guy. Maybe it would have just been Mark for the base?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But getting back to the Monday Night Raw, top kudos to Jericho. Top of the line.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, Little Nate screwed up the pinfall.
Ah, Little Nate, come on, you're better than that.
And they got into a yelling match with each other, and Jericho pushed him and caused the DQ and some swearing on national TV.
Well, that's okay. Something that Vince hasn't done.
Yeah, no kidding. So, but I think Jericho did a tremendous job. He's like, he's hurt. We've got to pull the plug on this, and I got to cut a promo right away. Because instantly, the people go to Jericho, and Neville can be attended to, and it's something out of people's mind.
Yeah.
You could see that Styles was a little confused walking out there. He's like, what do we do?
Yeah.
Because it's suddenly on the fly. I don't think it was supposed to play out the way it did.
I don't think so either. It was crazy.
Yeah, but sucks for Neville. AJ Styles, top pop. Everywhere he goes.
Everywhere he goes, he's a star. He's a star. He's a star.
How long before they pull the trigger on a title win for him?
Well, if we think, okay, just to we'll do some clarity on here. So if we think things are going to go where they're going to go, let's say Hunter wins, right?
Yeah.
So if Hunter wins, who is his first opponent? Is it a rematch with Roman, or is it right to Dean, or is it a Bullet Club?
I think it's to Dean.
Okay, so does he, and he beats Dean at Fastlane. Next pay-per-view after that, I don't know what that one is, but I know it's one away from Money in the Bank. Because that's the one in May. And there'll be Elimination Chamber, so there'll be two of those. Plus Elimination Chamber, so sure, get that. May slot. And then June is what? Payback, I believe?
June is Money in the Bank. And then
July is Money in the Bank, is it not? Is it Money in the Bank just before SummerSlam?
I don't know how they...
Whatever. There's the June, let's just say there's the June pay-per-view. Maybe there's a random feud there. And then, I don't know. It's so hard to think where AJ could be. I think AJ is, long story short now, I think he's a Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Him or Kevin Owens or Sammy. But probably Owens or Styles are the favorites right now, I'd say.
Yeah. But here's the other thing we have to keep in mind, and now I realize this upon asking my question. If we have a brand split, then I think that elevates Styles quicker.
Yeah, for sure. He's the most over guy on the roster right now.
Oh, everyone loves AJ Styles.
He gets the biggest pop. Undoubtedly the biggest pop every night.
Yeah. And can I just say that the Edge and Christian show, the AJ Styles, spot on.
That was great. You mean the company I wrestled for got a lot of my fame? No, they're never gonna say that.
I liked how they showed TNA.
Tess and Albert, yeah. That was great. That was just a nice little touch to it. And I think that's the fun thing about that show, right?
Oh, yeah. They had a little comment about, they had Emma cooking something on their show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were talking about how she stole, how she'll probably steal the recipe. And Edge made a comment of saying, I think she's done that before.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's funny, because it reminds me now, she was fired.
Yep.
And then she got brought back. Good for WWE bringing back. I guess Zack Ryder's pretty happy about that.
Eugene, no kidding.
Yeah.
That's his first big major victory since TLC 2011, so...
Burn!
And the whole Emma situation was a mistake anyways.
Mm.
It was something slipped in, she didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And it was this whole big mess, and... You know, good on her. She's found a niche in NXT. Good for Zack Ryder. And since we're talking about the Edge and Christian show, did you see the end of episode, I believe it was
three? The Sunny?
Yeah.
That was harsh.
Yeah.
But not as harsh as things that I saw in that porno.
Yeah, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole, my friend.
Quick review!
30 seconds, 5 seconds.
It's pretty simple. Let's just say plenty of people. And by the way, I didn't watch this whole thing. There was a trailer out because I couldn't watch this whole thing. But let's just say plenty of people have had sunny days.
And that's where we're going to leave it.
Yeah. I wouldn't seek it out. Leave it alone, people.
Run far away. So, has the Edge and Christian show suddenly become something you enjoy watching?
I'd say it reeks of awesomeness. I think you and I thought it would be like that Tim and Eric Adult Swim kind of thing, where it'd just be like so left field and just so stupid. I think the first episode they kind of did that. But after that, they kind of started, it's like any show, right? Yeah. You always say best show. You're like, I will watch a show for at least 2 to 3 episodes because I want to find its mark. And it's starting to find its way and figure itself out right now.
It's a Mark show. It's a Smark show.
Mm-hmm. I think you and I groaned heavily when we saw that commercial for that show.
You more so than me. I was a little like, nah, it's there.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah. It worked out. I gotta say, it worked out.
I mean, the Emma comment, the edging, TNA comment. There was one other comment that they'd made that they just kind of slipped in there that I thought was pretty good. I like the t-shirts where they're talking about how the
Kevin Owens gets me!
Or the DX shirt. I miss the Attitude Era. And the NX t-shirts.
The Attitude Era sucks! My favorite part is like, I hate Kevin Owens! He can kind of wrestle? I like him! I hate Roman Reigns. He can kind of wrestle? I love Roman Reigns. Like, that's the one that's the most untrue.
Yeah.
My favorite was like, I hate kayfabe. They're not keeping kayfabe. Why are they keeping kayfabe? I'm like, how many of these have me and Joel done?
it's just like, holy crap, this is summing up the wrestling, the smart marks perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, it's a show that's found its mark. I enjoy it, and keep it going.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to Ride Along coming back on. Total Divas ratings are way down. Speaking of shows really quickly, do you think if the ratings continue to plummet and if E doesn't want to continue it, do you think it's something they continue in the network or just scrap altogether?
Part of me wants to say it's the network, but the other part of me is saying that they probably scrap it.
Yeah, I wonder. And I wonder, too, because with the Bellas pretty much done here, pretty soon, you would have to think that that's a big component of what's going on with the Bellas, because this season has barely had any Eva Marie on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about one of the more important segments from Raw. Shane McMahon, week three of this. Not week three overall, but week three of Shane on TV with Undertaker. Wow, Joel. That was a stinker.
Yeah. Well, you had to think they were going to lay a dud eventually.
Did they lay a dud, or did Shane lay a dud?
I think Shane laid
a... You're going to hit me, and I'm going to miss you.
Oh, that wasn't good. Not great, Bob.
That was maybe as fun as... Still my favorite botch promo is, if you just think you were the right gay at the right time, brother.
Or a Scott Steiner promo.
Oh, yeah. The math one.
Here's the thing, and I think Kane, Glenn Jacobs, put it best in an interview, because they asked him, so why is The Undertaker helping Vince McMahon? And Kane was like, well, he's a mercenary. He's The Undertaker. It's his yard.
Then why didn't you say that?
Because apparently it's too hard to say on live TV.
Apparently.
I think this will be a fun match. Recently, they showed a video of The Undertaker deadlifting 500 pounds, and he's a vertical of 40 inches.
Yeah.
So, at least when he's in the gym, he seems to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So, and I think Shane's like what?
I think that was on Bleacher Report, actually, I believe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that the dead man will be in good shape. I think overall this match will be alright. It seemed very messy between him and Taker in that ring.
It did.
We'll see where it goes. I think we're gonna hear some gunshots though. So
yeah, well, I think he's gonna so I'm still excited for the match, but the work punches from Shane are really bad. The promos
that's Randy
have
written about him.
Yeah, Randy's not a fan of them, apparently.
Well, you don't remember when they had that WrestleMania 25 and they had Shane, he basically missed a punch.
Really?
And it was painfully obvious.
Was this when Randy was calling people stupid in the ring like he did to Kofi that one time?
No.
Stupid! Stupid!
It was around that time frame, but he didn't
yell
that to Shane.
I miss that, Randy. He was great. I'm not down on WrestleMania, but I'm down on Shane this week. And I think his pop is starting to, you know, we've had this back and forth little fun thing on Twitter with our counterparts at We Talk Wrestling. Shout out to Mo and them. And Mo's kind of component of Shane not getting the best response, and he's kind of been down in this entire thing, and we've been a lot more positive about it. This week, I got to give it to Mo and those people that have been a little more down on it.
Yeah, it definitely kind of... I don't know if it was that Pittsburgh crowd or what it was, but it just, like, the whole show seemed kind of down. So I think the biggest test for Shane is the Philly and Brooklyn crowd. If they don't buy in, then...
I think they will.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting more reasoning for things, right? Like, what's in the lockbox? Maybe tell what's in the lockbox, or get the special guest referee going. That match has kind of hit a stalemate. I think it was so weird because, like we said, it was, yes, Shane's here, but when you had the match, it's like, we don't want you here for that.
Yeah, it definitely kind of affects things. You're kind of like, okay, where's this all going? Let's finally get some more answers. I think you know Cena's not going to be there, so just start moving forward.
Where are we going now? Or is that about it?
Well, you kind of skipped over the most important segment from Monday Night Raw, and that's the challenge from Ryback to Kalisto for
right.
Our most exciting match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Tickets?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be a fun match.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
It could be the match that shocks all of us.
So you said that Ryback was supposed to be in Cesaro's spot, right? You told me this, or someone had told me that?
I don't remember telling you this. I'm going to deny that I've said this.
Someone had told me that Ryback is getting the push that Cesaro was. He got put into wherever Cesaro was supposed to be. I could be wrong. Maybe that was somebody else. Or maybe I was mistakenly heard that.
I think we'd heard that Ryback was getting push.
I don't know
if it was Cesaro's push necessarily.
I just... I like Ryback to a degree. I think he's a better comedy character.
Yeah.
And I think... I mean... I look at a guy like a Del... Well, I guess Del Rio's already fought Kalisto so many times. But Rusev even... and I wonder too how Russo's challenge will be played out. And they kind of dropped that this week, the body slam challenge.
Yeah, it's non-existent.
But sure, Ryback and Kalisto. Kalisto, I think he's a talented worker, and he's got a lot of work to do this week.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, rather.
Yeah. But I do think we get Sin Cara turn. He's dressed in all black.
Does it matter?
Not really. That whole Sin Cara character gimmick is kind of cursed in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of, meh, it's there.
I just think that no matter what Sin Cara, I thought he has a good moves, and I thought he did an okay match. Like, here's the other thing, too. What you're doing Ryback and you're saying size matters and everything. Why was a 50-50 booking?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he gave him the two shell shocks at the end. But still, when you're watching this match, don't you go in and be like, he needs to just clothesline him? It's kind of, you want him to be Goldberg, right?
Yeah.
Clothesline, shell shock, another shell shock, boom, segment over.
Yeah.
It's an easy segment to do. Yeah. And yeah, I just don't know why they continued with it.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
I mean, another thing I'm not looking forward to is, from what I've... I haven't seen SmackDown. I've just read about stuff. You know, because it's been a long week for everyone here at Stick Boy and One Fall. That the Goldust and R-Truth thing, make it end.
Yeah.
I'm ready for them to partner up. Let's go. Like, it's skinny stupid.
Yeah, it's time. The segments were cute at the first, and now it's quickly trailed, hit the rails.
I guess the women we haven't talked about enough at all.
Yes.
So I think we're going to get an 8-woman tag match, I believe. Yeah. Team Bad with Lana against Summer, Paige, Natty, Brie, and who am I missing?
Foxy.
The other side. And Fox, yeah. So that's fine, whatever.
Yeah, gets them all on TV. And
exactly.
And Lana can hit the carpet eater.
The Bella Buster.
I Can we just call it the Carbonator?
Nope. Unless you want me to talk about that Sunny video again.
Nope. I think we're going to stick with Bella Buster now.
Yep. I'll just threaten you with that. And if I really get mad at you, I'll threaten you with China videos.
Oh, God. That's a punishment.
It looks like a thumb! That's all I'll say.
I'm going to start to cry now.
I thought the diva stuff with Sasha and Becky and Charlotte, everything's just kind of in a nice little stalemate.
Yeah.
It's just like, let's just get ready to get these ladies to their match, which is going to be one of the highlights of the night.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling it right now, as of the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. I'm calling that Becky Lynch will walk out of WrestleMania.
And I'm sticking with Sasha.
Well, I could change, but right now...
You can't change. You gotta stick with it, Joel. Stick with it. Stick to your principle.
All right, Becky Lynch.
Yeah, you got Becky. Hopefully most picks, when we do our super pod with him, hopefully he sticks and he hasn't picked anything, but hopefully he goes Charlotte and we can have this nice little back and forth about it. I'm sticking with Sasha. I think Sasha gets it. The next night, Bayley comes out and challenges her.
I think Becky's owed because she never got anything in NXT.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, am I gonna be happy if Becky gets it? For sure. But you know me, I'm all about the boss.
Yeah, I'd love to see the boss win as well. I'm not gonna deny that. And Charlotte's found a really good spot as the heel and another flair.
I think it's great because you don't really... It's one of those great title matches, right? Unlike the men's title. There's a little bit of hoping that Hunter wins for us because we don't want Roman. But with the Divas, it's like, I honestly don't know, which I think each three of the women have a great case of that person should win, that person should win, and that person should win.
I totally agree.
One person that should maybe be in there, two people, is Natty and Paige. Natty had a great match with Charlotte at Roadblock.
Oh, God, that was phenomenal.
And it just seems just to amaze me. What are they doing with Paige and Natty?
They must have really upset someone.
I guess. Have you heard anything that match helped Natty out at all?
I haven't heard anything.
So that match, that Divas match, the four women, do you think that's going to be in the pre-show or is that going to be on the show? Because pre-show already has two matches.
I think it'll be on the main show.
Because it has Dudley's and Usos is on the pre-show now.
Yay!
And the Battle Royals on the pre-show.
Yeah, I'm okay with both being on the pre-show. And you know what? Give the eight women their shine. I think it'll be Brie Bella's last moment.
So yeah.
Do it.
And also, so the Andre Battle Royal, how many people are going to be in this Battle Royal?
I don't know. I think anyone and everyone on the roster.
Like, who's left? Social Outcast, the Wyatts, the Ascension, Mark, and Jack Swagger and Sin Cara.
Sandow, Stardust.
I forgot about Stardust.
Goldust, R-Truth.
And then who? I guess Big Show.
Yeah, Big Show.
Kane,
yeah.
Huh. Poor Kane's not going to do anything but go in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. Him and Brian could hug.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. They go...
Pretty bad state of events in the Andre Battle Royal this year.
Yeah, I think we were excited when Cesaro won. I think we knew Big Show was going to win.
Well, when Cesaro won it, though, it proved to be nothing. It proved to be useless.
Yeah. So that's why it's on the pre-show.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just, I think they really did something, right? Like, when Cesaro won it, we didn't know any better, right? So, like, oh, this is huge. This is crazy. He won it. And then last year when Big Show won, it's like, oh, right, okay. We're not gonna go too crazy on this in our way. And it's hard now because who do you get to pump it up? Because, I mean, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, I don't know which one, but one of them was really excited for it.
Yeah, well...
Do you know which one it was? I think it was Hulk Hogan.
Just hit on this now so we can get this.
Okay. I don't know if I know who Terry Bollea is, but I know he's a short dick.
God, that Gawker thing just is making.
Did you hear the audio for it?
No.
It is the lawyer talking to Hogan, and Hogan, the character, Hulk Hogan says he has trouble sitting down because of how big his penis is. But Terry Bollea, no, he has no trouble with that. He's got a smaller dick. But Hulk Hogan, it's a big one, brother.
I got a question for you with this Hulk Hogan thing.
Yeah.
Is this a case of CTE or just piercing?
This is a case of bullshit.
Oh, okay.
He suffers from bullshit.
So tell the people what he said about Hulk Hogan and Terry Bollea.
Yeah. He just said that Hulk Hogan is a character, that it's something that he plays, much like, I don't know, Daniel Craig being James Bond, for example. Or John Cena in Trainwreck was also used.
And he said that, who delivered the racist line, Josh? That was my favorite part.
You're going to have to hit my mind up against then. Oh, he said that Hogan did, though. Yeah. So, not Terry Bollea. Hulk Hogan did.
Yeah. So keep that in mind, kids. Hulk Hogan's a racist. And Terry Bollea is not.
Yeah. Is this one of the more genius or one of the more crazy things for testifying in a court of law ever?
I don't know, but it's sure entertaining to watch and listen to. It feels like Hulk Hogan, the self-destruction of Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea in some ways. Because some of the things he said, like, you and me thought, okay, he'll be back eventually. But some of the things being said here, it's going to be hard to rub. But then again, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, just seems to bounce back from anything. So one never knows. But it's a sad state when you see a guy that was the John Cena for his generation, was a pioneer.
He is the Michael Jordan.
Disagree.
I'm not saying by skill. I'm saying from noticeability. For common noticeability.
I
think, like, people on the street may not know who Ric Flair is. I think it's getting a lot more up there. You see the basketball players and everything. I think more people know the Ric Flair chants.
Yeah.
And you can give me Austin as well. Awesome. But I don't think the people know Stone Cold Steve Austin as much as a Hulk Hogan. You see Hulk Hogan, you think you're professional wrestling. It's just that simple.
Yeah, it's a shame.
The thing is, for you and I talked about with this with you yesterday. It's kind of that comic thing where you and I just think Harley Quinn. People know who Harley Quinn is. She's just like, if you were going to list the 10 most known comic characters, you think everyone knows. You would say Harley Quinn is around that area, right?
Yeah.
And you and I have found out that there's quite a handful of people that don't know who she is. There's a quite handful of people that don't know who John Cena is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's people that don't really... There's people that know who Stone Cold is to a degree, but when they see Hulk Hogan, he is the face of what professional wrestling is, and it's a shame. I think The Rock is a more popular overall figure, for sure, but I don't think The Rock is identified as a wrestler as much as just a global entertainer now.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
If you're gonna rank them just by popularity, I think Hogan is number one. I think Austin is number two, and then I think it's Rock, Cena, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, somewhere around there, and Undertaker as well. Yeah. I think we underestimate how powerful the Undertaker's reach is at times.
But it's a shame that, as you call him, Michael Jordan pro wrestling is in this state of affairs.
Yeah, like, and again, it's not by the talent. If you want the complete package, it's Flair.
Michaels.
Yeah, fair enough. Nah. On the stick, though, would you put Shawn Michaels top 10 all time on the stick?
Yeah, he had good promos. There were.
We're not going down this. This we're going to get an argument. Agree to disagree. Let's move on from that.
The heel and the well, I guess you'd be the tweener. The tweener and the baby face almost came to blows.
Yeah,
I had one of us almost turned around into a stunner.
Yeah, I've already given out one of those earlier. Don't make me do it again.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, well, Vince McMahon was.
Was it like when, because it's 316, so we can talk a little bit about Austin.
Sure. Well, do we have any other news to cover?
Well, the Hall of Fame class continues. The reports on Hunter meeting with Kirk were false.
Of course they were.
So there was zero truth to that.
People needed to calm the hell down on the Kurt Angle thing. I'm not going to lie, as a Kurt fan, I hoped it would happen, but I knew it wouldn't. Like, people needed to chill down on that. It's a little ridiculous how crazy people got on that, man. You and I were both saying, like, it's crazy how people are getting on this. We both know this isn't happening.
Yeah, it very much started to pick up steam. I guess it would be noteworthy. It's not big in the news, but WWE did their rundown of their week for WrestleMania, and they forgot something on Friday.
And a big NXT, because Vince doesn't like NXT, apparently. Joel, explain.
Yeah, so Hunter wanted to do this thing where they would have these exclusive Mattel NXT figures only for sale at live events, full sale when there were events going on, and WWEshop.com. And Vince killed it.
Yeah.
And there's more and more we're hearing that Vince Kennedy McMahon is not a big fan of the NXT brand and feel that it's getting too big for its britches.
I think it's because he was just like, let me just put my son-in-law here, right?
Yeah.
I put my son-in-law here. He'll be out of my hair. I don't have to worry about him. I'll just give him this developmental league, which, to be honest, for the most part, the developmental system, it's brought fine people out of there, but it's pretty much floundered, right? And the NXT brand, as itself, floundered. It was terrible. Like, you got some gems, like a Derek Bateman, who they never did anything with. Obviously, the original had Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett, and the second one had Ryback and Darren Young, and the second one had, you know, eventually what would be Bray Wyatt and Curtis Axel, mainly Bray Wyatt, all respect to Curtis Axel. AJ Lee, Kenshi, Caitlin, the other girl from Team Bad right now that I'm stepping on right now, Naomi, Trinity, whatever her name is. But he took that brand that was, you heard the name NXT, and it more or less meant garbage.
Yeah.
I could never imagine people chanting NXT. And I remember when I first heard it was going that way, I was still watching FCW because I wanted to see Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah.
Because I had liked Tyler Black quite a bit in Ring of Honor. And, it was up here in the show in Canada for a while, and I tuned in, but I never took it too seriously, and it just, that first TakeOver pay-per-view, I think, was the real turning point for it.
Yeah.
And then things just kind of snowballed and got better and better.
Now, my question to you is this a case of Vince not liking the success NXT's had compared to his own product right now?
I think it's not as much a success as that he didn't create the success. Yeah.
Yeah, it's proven that Vince doesn't like anything he makes, doesn't make.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that to me stuck out like a sore thumb and showed some very pettiness and just not good. You want to support NXT. You want to support WWE. You have them both going strong. It just helps your company. So,
We have breaking news with The Rock.
Uh-oh.
Not wrestling wise, but he's being sued for $200 million.
Oh yes.
Because apparently him and Mark Wahlberg stole the concept for the show Ballers.
Here's my thought. I think the show Ballers is kind of a common idea when someone sits there and pitches ideas.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's Entourage.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Apparently, there was supposed to be a show pitched that was called Off Season.
Yeah.
And it was pitched to Wahlberg and Johnson in 2008. However, the show did not come to fruition. And they first these guys just wanted credit, and now they're suing them. I don't know. If does Ballers make $200 million?
I don't think so. HBO, I can't imagine it being that type of draw for HBO.
HBO's getting sued for a lot of their shows recently.
Yeah.
What else do we got left? Because we're getting close to the end here.
Yeah, I think we've kind of hit the end. The injury with Bray Wyatt's been confirmed, and I just think it might be good to keep him off the card. It shows that he's not in the doghouse, so that's good. And just let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, excitement level out of 10, 4, WrestleMania, Joel.
7.5.
I'm on the exact same level for you as you. It was an interesting week. Two more big weeks, and I really think they got to do some damage with Shane. They got work to do there. I think KO and everyone, I think we'll probably get the announcement for the match next week, I would assume.
Yeah, you have to.
So which matches are left to be announced? Really just the IC title and whatever Jericho's doing?
Yeah.
Shout out to Jericho again. We never talked about it enough, and we're running out of time, but Jericho, being a heel, he's really playing into it. He got a good promo in at Roadblock. He good job, like you, Joel, said to Ablib on the fly there. Jericho is doing a tremendous job right now.
I think Heel Jericho could gain himself a nice spot. He has nothing lined up with Fozzy.
No.
So
maybe a surprise title run for him. Who knows? I doubt it, but you never know.
I love Heel Jericho.
I do want 10 time Jericho. They like their round numbers.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Just because, I mean, with Hunter, I think one of the main reasons Hunter got it, because 13 time is great, but they just like the nice round 14, right?
Yeah. He's going to get to 16.
I don't think so. I think this is it.
I would not be shocked.
16 is Cena's.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why, man, like we said, if you're going through title people this year, Seth and Cena are two of them, possibly Dean, possibly Finn, possibly Bray now, right? But I think for sure Cena's getting a title reign at some point, and for sure Seth's getting a title reign.
Yeah.
All right. Another week down and another week closer. Does it seem like we're on the road to WrestleMania to you?
Sometimes. Other times it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Gotta agree. Well, you know what? I'm not going to put anything to mystery, folks. It happened to us, Joel.
Yeah.
You're doing so good in a clean streak of not having breaking news. But we entered into St. Patrick's Day, and, well, unfortunately, the luck of the Irish isn't with Sting. Sting will be retiring.
I'm not too surprised. I mean, he had spinal stenosis, the same thing that Edge had, same thing that several Kurt Angle had, same thing Stone Cold had.
Yeah, Kurt is still wrestling.
Yeah.
Including this Sunday against Ray.
I look at it and it's like, it's probably for the best. Sting's had, more for you, a memorable career.
Yeah, there's a lot for me, just with the WCW stuff especially. When he was like, if he was going to go to the Wolfpack or not, that was a big storyline. That was one of the last really big draws for WCW, is when Sting finally decided to go to the Wolfpack. That was a big deal, like a really big deal. And I think overall, though, as we quickly go over this, Ric Flair said it best, though. Sting lost out on so much money by not going to Vince.
Yeah.
Eventually he did, but in the long term, he's 56 years old, so. Well, it's a big story, and this is one of the biggest wrestlers of all time. Still not big enough to make it into Dave Meltzer's Hall of Fame yet for some reason. It's still like, you're 56 years old. You're, what, like, how much younger than Hogan and Flair? Not too much. Like, and they're both done, so it was time. He kept in great shape and everything, but it was time, regardless.
Yeah. And I think, you know, did we miss out on Sting versus Rock, Sting versus Austin, Sting versus The Undertaker, yeah?
The last one, yeah. The last one, definitely.
Sting versus Cena.
Yeah, I think that was probably in the books, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Cena wanted it. But ultimately, you got to take a look at it as you can't sit there and wonder what if.
I mean, I do it, and I was like, I wonder what a Bret Hart-Kurt Angle match would look like.
Yeah, but, of course.
But at the end of the day, you got to kind of look back, and he had a good career. He had a really good WCW career. The stuff in TNA.
What do you remember from TNA? Well, remember, one of the reasons I stopped watching TNA was because they made Sting lose to RVD.
I think the biggest thing I remember about Sting from TNA is Joker Sting.
Joker Sting, the stuff with Abyss.
Yep.
Oh, the stuff with Abyss.
So, but even his WWE run was all right.
It could have been better, but I mean, you know, what a way to go out. If that was his last match, that match for Seth was a match of the year nomination for you and I, because I feel like he did so much more than we thought, and ultimately, I think when Seth gets back, we can no longer have that powerbomb spot into the turnbuckles. It's a stupid spot. There's no reason for it.
Well, it's a stupid spot, and that, like, we didn't hit on enough in our previous recording, but the William Regal tweeting out the picture of his spine and how it is from
it's
those
like twist ties in there, man.
Yeah, it really makes you sit there and think of if there's a certain point where, and I think Meltzer had said this when they were talking about Daniel Bryan, was they got to work more on the back, the legs, the arm, the head, and the neck area kind of got to be left alone.
Yeah,
I think it's time, and I don't know so much if it was. I think those powerbomb. Turnbuckle power bombs are not safe and they should be stopped. I don't know. They kind of broke the straw on a very, very fragile camel's back, I think.
Yeah.
I think this had been building up for years and years and years and years. And it just finally, that move and the way Sting took the move as well probably didn't help, because you saw his neck snap back. And you could see that he was on spaghetti legs at different points in that match. So I still think him and Seth had a really good match. And, I mean, Sting himself had said that Seth Rollins is the best guy he's ever worked with.
Ever.
What does that say?
Did he say ever, though?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it's got to be different from a viewer standpoint for you and me, for a guy in the ring. Because I guess maybe Seth just does things on a whole other level that we just don't fully grasp yet. It definitely kind of makes you kind of go, because Sting worked with the Macho Mans, he's worked with the Flares, the Steamboats, the Vader.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy, too, that was supposed to take the torch from Flair, right? When Flair left to go to WWE, or WWF at the time even, he was kind of taking the torch. And there's a lot. I mean, you can talk about the Crow Sting, one of the best builds of all time, but not well executed of how well they built the Crow Sting. But still, I think Sting is one of those iconic, he's the icon for a reason. He's one of those iconic features and creatures in wrestling history. But as far as mainstream goes, I don't know how well if we look back at guys, mainstream-wise, I go back to that Flair quote again. I wonder if because he's not as over mainstream-wise, is because he didn't have Vince's touch.
Yeah, I think because one of the biggest things about the previous recording was how Vince might be a little out of touch. Back then, I think with you combine Sting with Vince McMahon, just money stacks would have been printed.
Yeah.
I also think that you look at Sting's influence on the current roster and just his influence overall of just pro wrestling. He has a pretty big influence. Like when Cena first came in.
Yeah. A lot of people compared him to, I remember they did that, the Legends of the 90s DVD. And it was interesting because they had both Owen Hart sections and Sting sections on there. And Taz had a part in there where I believe he compared Sting to Cena.
Yeah. And now, I think, you know what? I haven't seen enough Sting matches. But just from what I have seen, you kind of see there's a little bit of similarities. Sting never went heel, did he, really?
Not particularly. He was, in TNA, to a degree, when he was with the Main Event Mafia, I guess you could say he was.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like was lost, too, was he had that time in 2001 where he was going to go to WWE, but there was that comment that The Rock and Booker T were doing a promo, and Rock just knocked down Booker T and said, "Who are you? Nobody knows who you are." And that really offended Sting, and that's ultimately what made him go to TNA. And you got to wonder if he didn't just take something so sensitive like that and could have been with WWE even in 2001, 2002, what could have been? I think with Sting's career, when a lot of people talk about him not being in the Meltzer Hall of Fame in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated, I think for a lot of people, it's what if with him. There's a lot of what if with him. It's now like, what if he didn't get injured against Sting? Maybe he could be at this year's WrestleMania. Maybe he would have faced Taker, or maybe he would have got that match against Bray, or... I think he still had at least two or three matches left in him had the Seth match gone perfectly. And even the build of the Seth match was really entertaining.
Yeah. Like, he did kind of remind me of Joker Sting in that build at times. Just a little bit way he was cutting his promos. But even so, it was still Sting in a WWE ring.
For sure.
That debut is iconic now. Mm-hmm. That's memorable when the crow hits.
One of the biggest markout moments I think any like true wrestling fan has ever had, because it's just like, whoa, 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 wait. That's Sting in a WWE ring. And even you and I just had the blink. It's kind of like AJ right now. You're getting more used to AJ now, right? It's starting to become second AJ. But even with AJ, you have to be like, no, that's so weird, because that's TNA's guy. And Sting was WCW's guy. And that moment where he held up the WWE title, I'm sure we're going to see that in some Hall of Fame packages.
Yeah.
Because that is just an image that will last forever.
Yeah. Because that was the one title that eluded Sting his whole career.
And you and I both picked him to win, I believe, in our pick. We thought that it would just do one little thing with him and then put the title on to Cena and then get it back to Seth or to Roman. We liked the idea of just even 2 weeks just to say that Sting was a WWE champion. We liked that idea.
I think that would have just been that padding of the resume, kind of go, yeah, here you go. Would have been very interesting if he did win that match. What would
happen? For sure. I wonder if there'll always be the what ifs. Is what if maybe he was, but then the spine stuff made it not possible.
Yeah, he would have to come out and drop the title almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been that, I think, Sting, like, the only glaring mark that I have on Sting's WWE career is that WrestleMania match. That was Vince's petty way of burying WCW.
You and I have a disagreement on that match, though, because I really liked it and you did not like it.
No, I did not. But agree to disagree.
Yeah.
I just looked at it as it's Vince's petty way of...
I'll give you the WCW stuff on it, but I still think it was a fun match. It wasn't the clink that we want, but he's also... was a 55-year-old at the time. You're not going to get a clinic from him, against Triple H.
I didn't expect a clinic, but I think the biggest thing that bugged me about that was just the burial of WCW and the fact that so many other parties had to get involved to just cover up the holes in the match.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not something you don't want to put a match on where, okay, we got to cover up this hole. I think both of them worked fine. I think, if anything, the Sting that we saw versus Seth Rollins could have easily worked with Hunter, and we could have had a good match. It would have been, it probably would have been on the Meltzer rating, it probably would have been a 3.
Yep.
It would have been in the middle, but it would have been a fine match. I felt like the interference was hokey, and Kevin Nash almost blew a quad, so...
I liked it just because I think for me, just growing up in that attitude, WCW ratings war, it was a kind of finality to everything. It was, here comes the NWO, and here's DX, and that was a dream match that we always wanted, was the DX-NWO stare down, and we got that in that match. And it was just a lot of, I think we were missing two things in that, though. We were missing flair.
Yep.
You and I were just watching them. I was like, where's Flair? And I think you could have had maybe an Austin in there or a Rock to really put the cherry in the top. I understand why I didn't have Rock, but I think having Austin would have been nice in that. But Flair was the main key ingredient missing in that match, because Flair and Sting, and, you know, speaking of the two of them, that's the match that ended. That was the last match in WCW, was Sting versus Flair.
Yep.
And I believe Sting won that.
Yep. I think they thought that that was going to help propel him forward for WWF signing. And speaking of, looking at storylines and kind of going, what if the invasion angle? What if it had Sting?
there's a lot with the Invasion angle. I mean, you can say whether they had Kevin Nash, whether they had Scott Steiner, but not to be morbid about stuff, though. Again, like I've seen a lot of people like, oh, I'm so sad the Sting retired. He's 56 years old, right?
Yeah.
Roddy Piper was 62 when he passed away.
Yeah.
So, and Roddy Piper had long been done fighting in the ring.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where you kind of look at, and in retrospect, he had a good long career. He got to do something he loved longer than Daniel Bryan did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sting has left an impression on pro wrestling, and that's the reason why we're talking about him. If this had been a Wade Barrett announcing his retirement, I don't think we would have this type of conversation.
No, because he's a legend, but it's a legend with a lot of asterisks to it. Yeah. Of what if he didn't waste his time in TNA? And maybe it wasn't a waste in TNA for him, but I think there's a lot of feuds in there that he didn't do. Like he had a really terrible feud with Vampiro in WCW as well that I was not a fan of. He seemed like he's definitely an all-time great, but you know, the more you look through the footage and stuff and you take the whole career as a collection, you're like, oh, Sting is great, but I think you and I can both agree it's hard to not disagree sometimes with people to say, well, he's not, when you're voting for that Meltzer Hall of Fame and you have an Edge or a Sting, I would say that overall that Edge had a better career, for example.
Yeah. I think
CM Punk had a better career, or Brock Lesnar had a better career.
Yeah, and I agree that there are definitely, and he never got to be in a place where it was properly booked for several years in a row.
Mm-hmm. A lot of inconsistencies.
Yeah, and that hurt him. So,
I think though it's the one thing that not, as we kind of have some negatives in there, I'll bring Sting back up. He's one of the few wrestlers though in the industry that has the aura.
Yeah,
a lot of guys don't have an aura. Lord knows Roman Reigns has been searching for that. He just has, if you see him, it's like, that Sting, I have to respect him. It's kind of Undertaker has that. A few very selective guys have that. It just screams legend, it screams big time, and Sting had that no matter what terrible program he was in, no matter what it was, he just screamed, I'm important.
Yeah, and for wrestlers, that's huge that you have that, or that you're just like, nope, that's Sting, so I can't mm-hmm. say anything bad about him.
No, I mean, he debuted in 1985, so almost 30-plus years in the wrestling business, Joel.
Jeez, that's quite the run.
Does this add to the Hall of Fame class for you now?
You know what, in a way it does, because it kind of, it's that...
Finality?
Yeah. And this is the cherry on the top. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, because I look at the WWE Hall of Fame, it's mostly fan service, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, but I think, you know, if you have a guy, why am I blanking? Vern Gagne is in it, for example, right?
Yeah.
Vern Gagne is not a WWE Hall of Famer. He's a wrestling Hall of Famer, and I like sometimes that Vince will suck up all his pettiness and put non-WWE guys, he'll put overall wrestling Hall of Famers in there.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, I think the one we'll probably never get that we should be is Meltzer. But Sting is an all-time wrestling great.
Could you imagine that Dave Meltzer speech?
That'd be great.
It would be must-see TV, but I think Sting's speech is going to be nice. I think he's going to have a lot of good stories. He seems like a very happy, he's at peace with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to help it. And I think out of all Hall of Famers, I think Sting's the one that I'm most interested in hearing speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there.
And we talked previously on here about iconic weapons. Mick Foley with the barbed wire bat, and Hunter with the sledgehammer. You just said it. Sting with the baseball bat.
Him pointing it at Hunter. Him having it for pointing it at the NWO.
Mm-hmm. If you could just go, what? And I mean, he had to put up with that TNA run too. Just not to keep on hitting that. He had to deal with that Jeff Hardy situation as well.
Yeah, that was not a good time.
No, I just wonder. He missed coming in and facing guys like Punk. He just missed Daniel Bryan. He missed a lot of opportunities there to have those big matches. But he still, you know, he being in TNA, he got to wrestle guys like AJ. He got to wrestle guys like Kurt Angle, Christian.
Bobby Roode, James Storm, I believe had a match with Austin Aries. I could be wrong. I would, but he got a chance to face a lot of good guys that were in TNA as well, as well as WCW. And AJ was great. At Bound for Glory, I believe it was. There was a part period there where every Bound for Glory, the headliner was Sting.
Oh, yeah, because you have Sting, you just have him headline stuff.
So he was, as far as things go and credentials, he was an NWA television champion, world heavyweight champion. Did you know WCW had an Intercontinental World Heavyweight Championship? They did.
No.
He won the United States title Legacy Now that we know twice. He won the World Heavyweight Championship in WCW 6 times. He was a tag team champion. Can you guess his tag team partners?
I want to say the Ultimate Warrior.
Not in WCW. One of them is in the Hall of Fame, and two of them will eventually be, and one of them is still an active competitor.
Oh, huh. I don't know. Who is it?
We have Lex Luger, who's always kind of been tied to the hip with Sting, the reason that that Lex made the jump to WCW. Kevin Nash, and the active competitor. Can you guess the active competitor? Older active competitor.
Like,
WWE.
There's only one guy that's been around that long.
Who?
He's the Demon from Death Valley.
Big Show.
Big Show. Oh, yes, that's right. Big Show did have... Yes.
So he was with the Giant. He won Comeback Wrestler of the Year in 2006, 2001, and 2014.
Wow.
He had the match of the year one time with him and Lex against the Steiner Brothers, the Super Brawl in 1991. He won Most Improved Wrestler in 1988. He won Most Inspirational Wrestler in 1990. He won Most Popular Wrestler in 91, 92, 94, 97. He was the Wrestler of the Year in 1990. He was ranked the number one of the top 500 singles wrestler by PWI in 92. He ranked 15 of the top singles competitors in 2003. He ranked 53 in all-time tag teams, 52 out of 100 in all-time tag teams with Lex Luger in 2003. In TNA, he was an NWA champion one time. He was a four-time TNA champion. He was a tag team partner with Kurt Angle. And he had match of the year with Kurt Angle at Bound for Glory and AJ at Bound for Glory, like you were saying. Hey, Joel, he's already part of the TNA Hall of Fame.
Woo. Already a Hall of Famer.
He was a UWF World Tag Team Champion with Eddie Gilbert twice and Rick Steiner. He is a WWE Hall of Famer, two-time Slammy Award winner, and as far as the Wrestling Observer goes, he had the match of the year in 1988 with Ric Flair, the Clash of Champions, which I would say may be my favorite Sting match of all time. He was the most charismatic in 1988 and 1992, most improved in 1988. 5-star matches. He had one in 1991 with Brian Pillman, Rick Steiner, Scott Steiner versus Ric Flair, Larry Zbysko, Barry Windham, and Sid Vicious at War Games. That's his only 5-star match from the Wrestling Observer. He won Best Babyface. He also won the Worst Work Match against Tony Palmore at Battle 7 and also Jeff Hardy at Victory Road.
Yeah, we don't talk about that Victory Road.
No, but, you know, I will wrap up on this, and then I'll let you say your final part. The history of Sting. So many highs, so many what-ifs, and a few lows.
I would have to agree. I think when you look, when you tell a wrestling fan about Sting, you're gonna talk about the what-ifs. I think that's the biggest thing with this guy. But you're also going to talk about some of the Ric Flairs that he battled with. You're going to talk about that Crow and the mysteriousness of him hiding off in the rafters. You're going to talk about that Undertaker match that everyone so desperately wanted. You're just going to have a lot of what-ifs with him, but you're also going to have some good memories. Like, I think him appearing from the statue, mm-hmm. pointing at the bat at Seth,
mm-hmm.
is a decent moment.
Yeah, I think that's one of the better moments he had in WWE. He had some good moments in WWE, though. I'm going to look back at it and be like, yeah, I remember that, and I remember that. And it's maybe just because the microscope is so much deeper, but I just, him in the rafters all the time, or when he finally decided to go Wolfpack, there's a lot of good Sting memories, but it's again, I keep on hitting this. I can't help but wonder the what ifs.
Yeah, I think that I think that's the biggest thing with the Stinger.
Mm-hmm. But you know, for sure, in my book, he's a Hall of Famer. Just all-around career. You look at all the achievements he's had. You put him in there with anybody, and most of the time, he's gonna produce a great match for you. And hey, you know, we should have the TNA stuff, but this is a guy that took a lot of pride in being the man that helped try to get TNA to the next point. He was one of the lifebloods of TNA with AJ Styles.
Yeah, he definitely played a very big role in keeping TNA afloat. Because I don't think if they didn't have Sting there, it wouldn't have been as enjoyable.
No, I thought when you brought Sting on, it brought some legitimacy to TNA.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the you can have Hogan or whatever. You know Hogan and the outsiders are just going to go wherever they get the best money from. And you always kind of figure Kevin Nash would eventually end up back with his buddies, right? He just kind of went where he could get the most money. Vince wasn't going to pay him that much money. And Hogan is just going to do whatever is best for Hulk Hogan. But when Sting went there, I was like, it was Sting and Christian really that got my attention with TNA. Because those are two guys I really value what they think of the wrestling business in their minds. And especially Sting going there is like, okay, you have to take TNA seriously now because they have the Stinger.
Yeah, I agree.
And now at the Hall of Fame, we'll be watching Sting give a speech with AJ in the crowd at the WWE Hall of Fame. Did you ever think you'd be seeing that?
Oh, God, no. I didn't think any of it. This has been such a weird couple of years in pro wrestling where everything's kind of backwards. We're going to have more or less the Bullet Club in WWE in a way.
Yeah.
We've got Mr. TNA and Mr. WCW in WWE. One of them's going to potentially have a WWE World Heavyweight Championship run.
We have technically Mr. Japan in WWE as well.
Did you see the, speaking of Mr. Japan, did you see the video package they did for him?
I did. It's great.
Yeah. Well, they did released a new one today kind of talking about him.
Okay.
And they were like, it was just pictures and words, but they were talking about him being the King of Strong Style. I'm guessing he gets to keep that. And
yeah,
I saw a picture like there. You know how they have the pictures for the matches where they preview them and they've got the background and they've got the wrestler standing there striking a pose. The Shinsuke looks like Shinsuke. He has kind of like a Michael Jackson-esque outfit that I'm guessing he's going to be debuting, but. The one thing that we'll look back at Sting, and the one thing I hope we look back on Shinsuke, is, well, they stayed true to his character, more or less.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, right?
So, and Sting didn't get changed. He wasn't the Stingray. He wasn't anything different. He was Sting. He was the same guy that you would see in a WCW show. Same guy you'd see in a TNA show. Minus the Joker face paint.
Also, we never talked about yesterday really quickly too. Speaking of Sting, they're doing the Ultimate Warrior Award. There's like a collection statue.
Yeah.
That Dana Warrior revealed. That's a little weird.
Oh. I think
it's cool.
The Susan G. The breast cancer. I think they're getting the award this year.
Also, there was some buzz, too, because WWE put a video up of 5 Undefeated Stars of WrestleMania, and guess who the cover art was?
AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Well, they recently had a Throwback Thursday to a match in January where Roman Reigns battled this punk.
Oh, did they ever?
What is it?
I think you gotta just go with something like that. If you have AJ, I never understand why, like, any other sport doesn't shy away from things. The NFL is not going to be like, well, we have this Buffalo game, but OJ Simpson played in it, so we're not going to show it. They're going to show it. It doesn't matter if OJ Simpson's in it. They're still going to show it because that game happened and that game was good.
Yeah.
I get you don't want to shine. You don't have to shine in OJ Simpson. You don't have to do the commentary after and be like, oh, that OJ Simpson, but... Still, at the end of the day, that game featured O.J. Simpson, so it had O.J. Simpson. Same with the Super Bowl with Steve McNair against the Rams. They were showcasing that off the other day. We know what Steve McNair did, but we just kind of forget about it and go on. And that's not even to say, like, Punk didn't really do anything bad compared to what, I don't know, like an O.J. Simpson or a Steve McNair did.
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, it's just to kind of work fans up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, he's featured in the greatest wrestling matches of all time.
Yeah, because he is. Like, he had one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. By the way, like, too, when you talk about that with Seth and Sting, you would have to assume he's going to thank Seth in his speech, right?
He probably will. He's got to say something. I know that Seth felt horrible for what happened.
Yeah.
So I definitely think...
Well, how would you feel, Joel, if you were this... Let's say, being the wrestling fan that you are, and you finally get to have a match with Sting, and then you end his career.
You would not be a good feeling.
No. It's not exactly D'Lo Brown and Draws territory. At least Sting gets the walk, and all respect to Draws, he's not exactly Sting.
Yeah.
But D'Lo, have you ever heard that story that D'Lo told about that?
No.
So, just a short story here, then we'll go. So, D'Lo, obviously, he did the move, the lowdown, and that paralyzed Draws, right?
Yeah.
Every match, D'Lo would wear the Chicago Bears socks. Every match. And that was the one day his wife forgot to pack them, and he didn't wear them for that match.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't care what anyone says. It's because I didn't have my bear socks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ugh. And so that would screw someone.
Just weird, right? And I wonder, too, I want to go back and watch that Sting match, because he did it twice. Do you think it was the second one? Or do you think he had a little bit of it from the first one, but Sting is just so old school and you have to finish the match type of guy?
Yeah, he's the type of guy that you have to finish the match. I think it was both of them combined. I think the second one definitely...
The deck one, yeah. But like, yeah. If you look back, he went on quite a bit and finished that match up.
He took that bump on the announcer table.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think that also had to play a factor,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm. So, what a match to go out on, though, for Stinger, right?
Yeah. It was a decent match.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe you and I should maybe look back at some of the stuff. That Super Bowl match, I highly suggest. Even though it was such a cluster F, I would go back and watch that Starcade match with him and Hogan. It's just a great moment to have him with the title afterwards.
Yeah.
And just that whole build of the Crow was great. It's one of the greatest characters in wrestling history was the Crow.
I would agree.
Scott Hall came up with that.
If he was sober, I think he would be... Like, you know how they talk about Edge being one of the Einsteins in WWE?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Scott Hall would have been an Einstein.
I've heard that was Scott Hall and Bubba Ray.
I'm not shocked at all.
Like, did you hear how Scott Hall pitched the Crow?
No.
So he just kind of said something like he said that he just saw the Crow and he was Brandon Lee, and he kind of mentioned it to Bischoff and to Sting's name is Steve Borden, I believe.
Yeah.
And he just mentioned, he's like, yeah, he does this and this and this. And Bischoff had a few ideas, like, no. And Hall explained every little bit about it, everything down to every nuance of it. And Steve Borden bought into it, and he felt like it was time for a change because he kind of saw what Hogan had done, and he knew that his character was getting played out, that he needed to get to another level. And boy, was it a drastic change for Sting, because he had the colorful California surfer kind of makeup on.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's what you look at the face paint too. I think his face paint has inspired a lot of people. I'm sure even to a degree, Goldust was probably inspired by the face paint. Jeff Hardy has said that he was. I'm sure Warrior played a big part of it too for some people, but Sting's face paint is one of the most iconic ideas of face paint too.
Yep. I do not disagree with you at all.
And, I mean, usually a lot of wrestlers wear face paint. Sometimes you kind of find it silly, but it's I don't know.
It worked. It was battle paint.
It worked. Anything else?
No, I think... Barring any other breaking news.
Yeah, barring any other breaking news. Well, The Rock's been sued. Sting's retiring. Everything is everything's looking great in the world of professional wrestling right now.
Not bad.
And I think we talked about this off air. We'll go off on this. You mentioned someone that may be going to the celebrity wing.
Ah, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with this.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. It's either Regis Philbin or Snoop Dogg.
What would you prefer?
Well, you don't know which one's going to die first,
mm-hmm,
in morbid thinking. So either of them, fine. Both of them have played their role in pro wrestling. So
I've also heard Bray will not be having a match.
I'm not surprised.
The back is pretty bad.
It's probably good to keep him away.
So, which I So are we going by what we still think is going to happen then?
Well, what...
Strowman wins?
Yeah. I think we're going to be going that way.
Yeah, I think so too. It's hard to really not think it's going to be going that way.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy has joined the list of wrestlers pledging their brains to be donated to science after they die.
Mick Foley now, Kevin Nash, and Jeff Hardy. Wow. I don't know if that's going to be interesting brain because of chair shots, just because of all the drugs.
Yeah, that brain's already a little...
Yeah, that brain will be interesting just because of that. Can Punk do the autopsy, please? And just, like, do a play-by-play of it?
Oh, God, that straight-edge society. I watched back the Rey Mysterio CM Punk build for 26.
Oh, the birthday. That was officially when he became one of my favorite wrestlers. Was I already liked him, but when he did that birthday thing, I was like, this guy is so great.
Oh, he just is creepy. Charles Manson. He looked like Charles Manson.
He was on a really good roll at that point, too. I mean, my favorite, too, was when Jeff had left and he came out in the Jeff Hardy face paint and came out to the entrance, and there's this like nerdy kid with the afro.
Yeah,
he's just like, if looks could kill kind of situation, right?
And that's how long before we get someone coming out to cult a personality to screw with the crowd?
I was wondering that, because remember, I think it was like 07 when Michaels went back to Montreal and he played Brett's music.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Although, I think we got that moment. I think it was that day that Meltzer had reported that he was going to come back, and then Heyman came out to it.
Yeah. I would not... You want heel heat on Hunter.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Roman becomes the top babyface in the company.
I still don't think that's enough to get Roman over. But we already spent our 3 minutes on that, Joel.
We'll have to wait till next week.
We have to wait till next week. Or you can... build it up. I'm sure when we have Mo on, though, we're gonna have to break the 3 minutes on that, though.
Yeah, we're gonna have a bigger, much bigger.
We're gonna need a bigger pod.
Oh, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
It will be fun. The challenge has been laid down. It's been a long time in the coming.
Building up the ultimate feud
of podcasts. It has been. All right. Well, you can. Find us in all the usual spots, StickBoyYYC, FreshTake42. And until next time, make sure you go to Booker's Barbecue here in Calgary for some great meals during March Madness. And enjoy the day, people.